Chapter 71. The Park. I was now happily settled on the park side of the foundation, not far from Findhorn Bay. I had my trusty sewing machine, a portable TV, a pushbike, and a red VW Golf parked outside Killurn House. How much better could it be? And yes, I was having fun being part of this collection of harmless eccentrics that others, including my mother, referred to as a cult. But I did miss news from home. As a result, whenever Australians arrived for workshops or conferences, I was drawn to them to hear a familiar accent and ask for an update of doings back home. Why? Because in Britain at that time, there was precious little coverage of Australian news, either on television or in print. Work department-wise, I continued to be part of the Phoenix shop team. With the shop reorganization working well, I could take on other projects as they presented themselves. The next one was to make a dozen cushions for Ian Turnbull's recently constructed nature sanctuary at the park. To do this, I was given meters of quality hot pink linen fabric, left over from the Universal Hall's ring beam. I made the cushions and, as the finishing touch, to the corner of each, I attached an exact match tassel. They looked terrific, adding a splash of color to the sanctuary's interior. The next request was for my dressmaking services. The task, to dress a foundation elder, who had been invited to attend a school reunion in Edinburgh. She was a slender, aristocratic retired teacher who had nothing to wear. So I set about creating a number of stylish mix and match garments for a series of functions to be held over 2 days at the school. For the formal dinner, we even managed to borrow a mink stole from a well-to-do member. Her outfits were a triumph. So after completing the obligatory 2 years as a newbie member, I was offered a staff position that came with an allowance of £12 a week. Up until then, I'd supported myself with ease, selling my one-of-a-kind art sweaters to cashed-up guests, who wanted to take a piece of Findhorn home with them, as a reminder of this extraordinary social experiment, playing out in the back blocks of Scotland. Much to my amusement, a new staff position was created for me, titled Aesthetics. This time I'd be working on the fledgling Planetary Village project, as well as doing whatever other jobs in and around the place that required aesthetic input. To be closer to the Planetary Village office, I left my comfortable room at Killurn for short-term bungalow sitting gigs at the park. This situation was less than ideal, but as accommodation was in short supply, there was no alternative. My first job was to design a complicated multi-fold leaflet to encourage investment in a proposed timeshare project at the park. Other jobs included interior decoration, color consultation, and some woodwork at Drumduin House. This two-story building was to become the Moray Steiner School. Scottish building code stipulated that each pane of glass in the existing firewall at the top of the stairs had to have a fine timber molding surround, and I was happy to oblige. From the get-go, I found the aesthetics position uninspiring because I was given itty-bitty jobs, nothing that I could get my teeth into, and I couldn't see that changing in the foreseeable future. Thus, when I received a letter from my former yoga teacher in Toowoomba explaining that she was receiving a recurring message in her daily meditation to tell me it was time to come home, I was overjoyed. My time in Scotland was over. For me, everything about Scotland was perfect, except the weather. The perfection list. 1. Because both my parents were British, I had right of abode, which meant I could live in the United Kingdom indefinitely. 2. I was living with a group of like-minded people who shared values that were important to me. 3. I was told by a representative of the Highlands and Islands Development Board that my one-of-a-kind art sweaters were the most creative garments being made in Scotland at the time. 4. And lastly, the demand for my sweaters was huge. But I'd been unable to acclimatise. I found the exceptionally long summer days draining, the short cold winter days depressing, and, irrespective of the season, the skies were almost always grey. Truth was, Part of me was dying for want of warm sunshine on my skin. My boss was shocked by my news. Understandable, as he put so much effort into recruiting me. I immediately went into overdrive, divesting myself of the possessions that I'd accumulated during my 3-year stay. Most of them going back to the boutique, where my art sweater adventure had begun. The last weeks were punctuated by a number of farewell gatherings. A week or so later, my mother arrived unexpectedly to do experience week. She was keen to experience the foundation before I left. Afterwards, she came to stay with me in a caravan at the park, where the sorting and divesting continued in earnest. I had no time to cook, so we ate lunch and dinner at the community center. As we walked down to the CC, my mother could feel the affection directed at me by the people we met along the way. Sometimes she would get there before me. She would take her meal, select a table at random, and sit herself down. When she was asked to introduce herself, she would say, "I'm Gretchen, and I'm Morley's mother." The response from the others at the table was immediate. Morley's mother.
Morley's mother.
Morley's mother.
Morley's mother.
Morley's mother.
After which she would bask in the warm glow of recognition by association. As departure day approached, I had my exit interview with personnel. Towards the end of the meeting, a respected elder mused, "Why is it when people look like being useful, they leave?" With farewells concluded, my mother and I hired a car for the drive to London. On the way, we called into overnight with very distant Quaker cousins, living in Yorkshire. Over the years, my mother had spoken about this branch of the Wyan family, and I was looking forward to meeting them. I'd hoped to learn more about the Society of Friends, and possibly have the opportunity to compare the Findhorn Foundation's philosophy with that of the Quakers. Unfortunately, we didn't have time, but we did get to attend a Quaker meeting the next morning, at the Thirsk Meeting House, where we sat in silence for an hour. The silence was occasionally broken when a friend stood to speak briefly, and then resumed his or her seat. When the meeting ended, we had a cup of tea before we headed south to London. When we got there, high on my mother's list of things to do was to visit Mr. Jones, the Wyan expert and keeper of the British Museum's coins, medals and dies. I'd visited him some years earlier, seeking information about my mother's family, who'd been artists and engravers to the English Mint for generations. After my visit, I told my mother about Mr. Jones, and the warm reception I'd received. As a result, she too expected the red carpet treatment. After all, she was more of a Wyan than me. But for some reason, her experience was very different. It was difficult to ascertain exactly what happened at their meeting, but she came away bristling. It took her days to recover, all the while threatening to write a letter of complaint to the director of the British Museum. My mother's next run-in was at the Harrods store. Whilst admiring a piece of very expensive jewellery in a freestanding cabinet, she was approached by a floorwalker wearing a top hat and tails. In the conversation that followed, the floorwalker, wanting to be helpful, suggested if she was taking the piece back to Australia, there would be no duty to pay. My mother was furious, hugely resenting being taken for an Australian. But the reality was that her posh British accent had mellowed, as the result of living in the Antipodes for more than 40 years. I was about to leave London for Melbourne, when my mother suggested I join her for a quick trip to Dublin, her birthplace. She was keen to show me the city of her childhood, with its happy family memories. But I declined her offer. To be honest, I'd had enough of my mother's dramas. Instead, I was craving warm sunshine and a look at the opportunities on offer at home, after almost 3 years in Scotland. On reflection. The nature sanctuary at the park. The hot pink cushions I made for the hobbit-like sanctuary were in use decades after I left the foundation. The cushions were a fitting legacy, as I went on to forge a career in textiles on my return to Australia. Wyan cousins. Meeting my distant cousins as I was leaving the United Kingdom was timely, because I knew it was highly unlikely that I'd ever see them again. My mother. In later life, when things got tough for her, she would toy with the idea of returning to live at the Foundation. During the 2 weeks she spent there, she'd experienced an intangible something, the energy generated by a group of people attempting to live in harmony with nature and each other, and she liked it. But she didn't return. And, as our relationship deteriorated to the point of estrangement, she was often heard to say, it was all Findhorn's fault. Facts. Quakerism. I had the opportunity to revisit Quakerism in Toowoomba in 2018. It is described as a Protestant Christian set of denominations that are officially known as the Religious Society of Friends. Formed in Britain in 1660, members are united by the belief that each human has the ability to see God in everyone.